For those of you who've been here, we've been in a series on the Holy Spirit, and the bottom of the announcement it says we are Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, and mission-focused. And so we've spent a lot of time looking at Jesus, at His person, at His character, and the nature of the Holy Spirit and how it works within us. And we're starting to move into this mission focus. And this is the body, this is the mission, loving and caring for everyone, not just in this room, but those that are outside. Because the Lord has eyes on all of them. And I think before we start, I'm going to just pray as well. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we can come before you and that we can ask, that we can seek your face, that we can seek your healing, your restoration. I thank you that we can gather as the body, as these individual pieces that alone are kind of insignificant, but together make up your hands and feet. And so, Lord, I just ask that you would continue to walk with Robert. Lord, I praise you for what you have already done in his life, and I praise you for what you're going to do. We don't understand what that's going to look like, but Lord, we trust you. We trust your goodness. We trust your character. We trust your faithfulness, because you are faithful. Just ask that you'd be with us this morning. Would you give me wisdom in sharing the word this morning? And would you give us all eyes to see and ears to hear? And just continue to be with us here this morning, Father. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. So mission focused. All right, that's pretty much it, right? We know what to do. I think we can just go do it. That's the message. Thanks. Okay. That was easy. Just go out and run. Get in the streets. Doesn't matter what it is. Just go. And if you're not doing anything, well, then you're bad. Okay, that's bad. That's it, right? I've got it. Am I missing something? Yeah. I don't know. There was a bunch of you at the Connect group on Thursday night, and I was kind of sitting in the back laughing because I don't think that anybody knew exactly what the topic for today's message was going to be. But this message is a theme that's been playing in my life repeatedly. And it's waiting on the Lord, right? Not running ahead of Him, allowing Him to lead. But we have this mission that Jesus speaks to us in Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So what is it? What was it that Jesus commanded us to do? Do we remember? We've been talking about it a lot. Do you remember? You can yell it out or not. Love one another? Yeah. So this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friend. So that's pretty easy. I get to love my friends. That's easy. I love all my friends. Done. All right. Jesus, does he only love those who love him? No, I see some head shaking. That's good. It's not love with the expectation of love in return. No, he says, "This I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you." So we're to make disciples. Disciples are a follower seeking to emulate the character and teachings of a teacher. So our goal, our mission, as we love one another, is to emulate the life of Christ and show people, by our actions, His nature. Now, maybe it's a dumb question, but we can just do that on our own, right? Like, we can just do our best to be like Jesus, and it's going to work out pretty good. It's a natural characteristic that we all have, love, right? It's easy to love one another. I don't know about you guys, but it is not easy for me. What did we sing about in that awkward song that I embarrassed my daughter? The fruits of the Spirit. What's the first one? Love. So we need the Holy Spirit, even for that, even to love one another. We can't rely on our own strength. That love isn't a natural fruit. It's something that is born out of that tree of life, out of Jesus the vine. And I know that we've talked about this a lot. I'm sorry if it sounds like a broken record, but do we know, what did Jesus do? Did he just go and do things? Did he every day wake up in the morning, start running? Or did he just begin every day, every activity in prayer? Beginning in prayer, seeking the will of the Father. And even when his flesh would push back, he would submit that flesh to the will of the Father. Oh, sorry, I forgot about the fruit. That doesn't make sense now. No, we see Jesus. He even tells us in John 5:19, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son does also in like manner." For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And the Father will show him greater works than these so that you will marvel. Oh boy, I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. I'm just going to sit here for a little bit. That's kind of crazy to me, because Jesus is fully God. You'd think he'd be good to just run off, and he could, if anybody, any human, would be able to do it and do it well, it'd be him. But he says, I do not seek my own will. I like this little lazy thing. I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So if Jesus does that in everything, if he's always seeking first the Father and the Father's will, what does that mean for us? What should we be beginning in? When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he and do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. We need to start there first. Lifting up our eyes to the Lord, sitting in his presence, and discerning his will. So, yeah, maybe you could say to me, yeah, no, I already know the will of the Father. It's pretty obvious. I'm just going to go and do it. I'm just going to go bulldoze through every partially open door because it looks like a good idea, and it seems and it feels like a good idea. And I don't know about you guys, but I love to see how the Lord works. I love to see his hand. I love to see moves of God, and I want to be a part of it, right? Like, I want to be there to be a co-worker with him in it. But I don't want to just be a bystander watching him do everything. He wants to partner with us. And I want to tell a story that happened to me last year. But I'm a little bit nervous. I'm a little bit hesitant to share the story because it could sound like I'm passing judgment on a situation that happened. But I mentioned earlier that there's this theme, this thing that God's been trying to teach me. And this experience just cemented the reality of this lesson for me. For those of you who don't know, back in November of last year, I felt like I was supposed to quit my job without any knowledge of where I was going to go or what was going to happen. And I spent the next, month, just every day in the throne room of the Lord, just worshiping Him, praying, and seeking His face. And during that time, I felt that He told me I'm supposed to go out to Edmonton to go visit my dad. I'm like, okay, that's fine. That sounds fun. But I had this understanding that I was going to have a mission out there. I was going to be doing something. I didn't know what it was going to be. I didn't know what I was supposed to say even. I didn't have the words. I didn't have anything other than my dad. I was supposed to be sharing something with my dad. The Lord had something for him, for my sister, and for a church. Cool. So I bought my ticket, and then my mom's like, oh, you're going to Edmonton? I'll pay for your ticket. So I didn't even have to buy my ticket. That was pretty sweet. Thanks, Mom. But I knew that I had to go. I was obedient, and then the Lord blessed me. I didn't have the money for the ticket. I didn't have it. But He provided for it. And so I'm sitting on the airplane, and I'm excited, but I'm scared too. Even though I'm just visiting my dad, I know there's a greater thing that I'm supposed to be engaging in. And so as I'm in the plane, I'm terrified of flying, by the way. So after I was done asking God to make sure the plane landed, I was just seeking Him. What are you wanting to share with me? What am I to bring? How am I supposed to do it? What am I even doing here? And He brought me to Acts, the beginning of Acts. And I think for the sake of time, I'm not going to read it all, but the gist is that Jesus appears to the disciples and He tells them to wait. He just gave them the Great Commission earlier at the end of in Luke, when we read it earlier, go and make disciples of all nations. But He says to wait for Me until I clothe you with power from on high. And so I'm like, okay, this is good. Like, this is what I've been trying to spend my time doing, just spending time at His feet, praising Him, worshiping Him, praying, asking for direction, because I still didn't know where my life was going. And He brought me here. And so I was excited. I'm like, sweet. He does it all. I don't have to worry about it. So I go, I'm spending the first 5 minutes with my dad. My stepmom tells me exactly why I'm there. Sorry, it was just wild. Because it's like, I needed to go. I didn't know what, but she told me exactly what it was. And it was, my dad is bound, essentially, and they don't know what to do, and they need help. So I'm like, okay, awesome. God, what do I say? I feel like I'm supposed to go grab my Bible. So I go grab my Bible, I open it up. There's pictures that I had put in there. I didn't remember putting them in there, but I had put the kids' school pictures in the Bible, opened it up. It's Proverbs 1. That's where I had tucked them. And my eyes just go straight to verse 7. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. Right? That was the answer for what my dad needed, by the way. And anyways, I also had to go see my sister. So I spent time with my sister. She was battling with some challenges, and the Lord met us, and His Spirit filled the room like a mighty rushing wind, and it was awesome. He told me He gave me the exact words. I'm sitting there just a bystander, co-worker with God. And after that, I was talking to my sister. I'm like, I feel like I'm supposed to go visit a church yet. I don't know what or where. And my sister's like, oh, you could stop by our church. It's close by. I'm like, okay. And then her husband, my brother-in-law, he's like, oh, I'll just text the pastor. I'll see if he's there. I'm like, no, I don't want anybody to know that I'm coming. I just want to show up and see what God's doing, because He's pushing me. Get out there. But he's like, no, I'll text him. I argued. He didn't. And then his phone rings. It's the pastor from the church. And so they found out that I'm coming. The next morning, I get ready to go, and then I'm in traffic. I only have a block to go to get to the church, but I'm in dead stop traffic. And the beautiful thing is God made time for me to pray, even though I didn't make it. So I'm sitting in traffic and I'm just asking, Lord, I give him everything. I don't know why I'm there or why I'm going. And as soon as the prayer was over, I felt like I had peace. Traffic moves. I realized I didn't have to wait in the traffic at all. I could have just gone in the fast lane straight to the church and been there in 3 seconds. Anyways, I'm going to try to rush, but I get in there. I go to the Word because I know nothing else, and it brought me to Hosea. And the Lord is speaking about His people who are chasing after other things. They're chasing after anything but Him. And I'm like, I don't like that. I don't want to read that. I don't want to have to speak that. But a person that's forgotten their first love. Long fast forward, I'm crying out to God, asking Him to please make it be a different sort of message. I come back inside and I meet this guy. He comes up to me. He's their youth pastor. I'm really excited to meet him. And he tells me, I ask him, what's happening? Like, what's going on in the church? He tells me, we're doing Bible studies in the high school, and there's 100 kids at these Bible studies. And I'm like, oh, this is awesome. I'm so excited. I'm like, how are you getting there? How did you know to go? And he's just like, oh, I have this list of things that I do. Ding, 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 ding. I'm like, oh, okay. Anyways, I kept trying to see where his direction was coming from, and it was always pointing back to this list of things that he had to do. And my heart was breaking. And so he says he has to leave. He doesn't have any more time to talk. And I ask, oh, what are you going to do? He's like, well, I'm going to go prep. I'm preaching in a week, and I need to finish my sermon. And I said, oh, sweet, what are you preaching on? And it was Acts 1, the same section of scripture that the Lord had led me to on the airplane. I'm excited. So I'm like, oh, awesome. What are you gonna do in it? And his thing is, we all need to be out there working now. I'm like, okay. Anyways, he left, and I felt led to go into prayer, and I was just asking the Lord, like, what do I do? How do I encourage this brother? Because he was just seeking after, like, this to-do list of things. And the Lord brought me to our main passage for today, which was Luke 10. Sorry, I missed a bunch of stuff. That's the Holy Spirit. Luke 10, 38 to 42. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all of her preparations, and she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So I felt like this was an encouragement. I wrote a beautiful little email and sent it off to this guy. And I got a response from him. I got a response the day before he preached, and it was a nice little encouragement response. And so I thought, I'm gonna watch. What did he end up preaching on? And it was just, what I began with, go get your hands dirty, go out there and do it. And essentially made a mockery of spending any time with the Lord, that we didn't need direction and where to go, we could just go and do it. And so my heart was, like, I'm being honest right now, like, I was crushed for that experience, because it just, I don't know, why did I even go? And then later that morning I went to a pastors and leaders prayer thing in Winnipeg. It happens every month, and I was helping lead worship, and I went into it a little bit low, wondering, like, was I hearing right? Like, am I wrong? And, of course, what was the theme of the little mini-sermon, the encouragement that came that morning? God confirmed his glory. And the guy was talking about our glory conforming us to his likeness and starting in a spot, in a position of just stillness and not rushing out to go and do things. And the Lord met me, and it was an encouragement. And I know I don't have a lot of time. But the point of it is, I think we can get stuck. We can get hung up on the idea of needing to do things or things being a good idea. And I'm going to jump back to that story of the church. You remember the pastor knew I was coming? Like, he knew I was going to be there? I waited for over 2 hours. I stood there in the lobby. I shoveled their sidewalk. I helped people move boxes. I was just there hoping that he'd come so we could just worship the Lord together and just spend some time. And by all accounts, things were good. Like, the church was thriving. There was, in the community, good things were happening. They had outreach and they had all this stuff. I go to there's a desk at the back of the church, and I find this catalog of all of these ways that you can serve. And then the pastor came out. And just totally walked as far on the other side of the room as he could. And I think we can get there. If we're just doing things because it's a good idea, if we're not walking by the Lord, but we can't love one another without his Holy Spirit. We can't love one another unless we're first going to him to be given the energy to go do it. And I understand that life can be challenging, but if you ever see me do that, if you ever see me not, like, that's my default nature, would be to hide, would be to stay in the corner, would be to avoid eye contact. But I challenge you to give me a little poke and say, hey, maybe that's not what God has for us. I don't have time to finish everything getting through everything that I wanted to get through this morning. But I think the heart of it all is, if we try to carry our own understanding, our own ideas into a situation, we're going to end up either being tired, burnt out, or like Martha, who's frustrated by seeing other people not helping. I'm not saying we just sit in worship. I'm not saying we just sit at the Lord's feet and do nothing. But that has to be our flow. I'm not a big one for formulas, because they often don't work. But do you like baking? Does anybody like baking? I like eating it. I know there's a few bakers in here. I'm just going to try to skip to where this... Jesus gives us the formula for what we are to do. And I'm just going to... Tell me if you see it. Okay, sorry. Here we are. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it, because it had been well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation, and the torrent burst against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great. There's a lot of opportunities to serve our community. There's a lot of ways that we can go and serve the Lord. But he says, first, come to me, hear, and then act. So it's this order of things. Come, we're not going act, come, I'm so lost in my notes, I'm really sorry. Thursday night we were talking about waiting on the Lord. And I mean, I hope here for direction we don't have to wait as long as David or as Abraham or even Jesus, because like he had to wait 30 years before he started his ministry. But I think we just need to remember to be starting in this place of complete, I don't know anything. I surrender all of my ideas, my thoughts, my plans. I lay them in your hands, Lord. And beginning in this place, I'll have to finish the rest of my message the next time I speak, which I don't know when that is. But I'm going to go to the very end because I have a special formula for the bakers out there. Okay, well, that's a good one. You probably want to know what that's about. Anything that makes sense. So I'm going to ask you to imagine something with me. You're going into a new town, and as you're walking around the streets, you see that there's going to be a marathon happening. And you love running, and by looking at me, you know that I love running. So you seek out, you find the marathon route, and you locate the starting line, and everybody's there, and you're in luck. It hasn't begun yet. And the race is about to start. The mayor stands at the podium and shoots his little gun, and you start to run. And you've trained for this your whole life. You push yourself. Your muscles are cramping, but you endure the pain. Your muscles fail you. You're keeping pace with the best of them. You take the same route as everybody else, and you approach the finish line. You're in first place. The ribbon is still sitting there, ready to go. You cross it. Huh. Wow. Then that mayor, that person who's running the race, comes to you and says, "Who are you?" You give them your name and you're excited because you've got your best time ever. You got your best time ever. But they say, you were never registered in this race. I don't know you. Get out of here. And it might seem like a silly analogy, all that effort, sweat, tears for nothing. Jesus doesn't promise us working with him to be like that, right? He says his yoke will be easy and his burden is light. But we have to remember the ABCD order, okay? We have to be registered. We gotta go. We gotta sign up. We gotta get our information. We gotta get the direction. So we gotta ask. Believe, very important. We talked about that last week. Our identity. Seek. Okay, it's a stretch, I know. And then do. Ask. Don't assume that you know everything. Surrender all of your own ideas. Believe and have faith that God has prepared your work in advance. Seek first the kingdom, not your own desire. And then do. And he's going to be faithful. God is good. And I want to end here. Proverbs 3, 1 through 12. "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing for your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you. I thank you that we can come to you, and I thank you that you desire to work with us, to work alongside us. Lord, as your body, I just ask that you would begin to speak. Where are you asking us to move? How are we to walk out that command, that commission, that co-mission with you of making disciples of all the nations, disciples of you? Lord, would your Spirit just dwell within us and begin to transform and make us into your image as we spend time with you, as we seek your face? Would you transform us into a people who looks, sounds, and serves like you? People that are seeking first your will, Father, not our own. God, I just thank you for this time together, and would you continue to bless each of us as we go from here? I pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen.